Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing Psalter 133, all the stanzas. Within thy temple, Lord, we think on mercies past. Let earth all praise accord, long as thy name shall last. The righteous judgments of her king, let Zion and her daughters sing. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 133.
to read out of God's holy word, out of the gospel according to Matthew, the first chapter, but before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar, and Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram, and Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Naasson, and Naasson begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias. And Solomon begat Roboam, and Roboam begat Abiah, and Abiah begat Asa. And Asa begat Josaphat, and Josaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Ozias, and Ozias begat Jotham, and Jotham begat Achaz, and Achaz begat Ezekias, and Ezekias begat Manasseh, and Manasseh begat Ammon, and Ammon begat Josias. And Josias begat Jeconias and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begat Abiad, and Abiad begat Eliakim, and Eliakim begat Azor, and Azor begat Zadok, and Zadok begat Achim, and Achim begat Eliad. And Eliad begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Matan, and Matan begat Jacob. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, Thou who knowest the heart of each and every one of us, As we are gathered together in thy house in the second service of this day, in which thou dost provide for us, despite what we deserve, wilt thou give us a saving impression of the wretchedness and the sinfulness of our hearts and of our existence before thee, that we may be given to approach unto thee in true humility and with that dependence that is due unto thee, that thou may remember us in the time in which that we are living, that we are on the eve of the commemoration of the birth of thy dear Son. And we may live in a country and in a time wherein that there are many celebrations in an outward way. And then there are so many gifts that are being bought in this world that they may be given to one another. But then there is so little need for that gift of God that was given by thee, the Father of thy only begotten Son. Oh, that we may not be found among them that are as even that Jewish nation, a people that did in an outward way look for the fulfillment of thy promise, and but the root of the matter that was not in them. Oh, then there was no true need for thee. Oh, Lord, that we may be wrought upon by thy Holy Spirit, because thou didst say, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works have been done in thee, have been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes." O Lord, thou knowest how often that we have heard this message in our life. That is such a joyful message. That is such a deliverance to the poor and to the afflicted. Thou knowest how often and how accustomed that we have become to all of these words. But it must become new for us. It must become true for us. Oh, that thou may remember us then in this afternoon hour, that this season may not go by us when we have never become prepared by thy Spirit in our hearts to receive that blessed child within. Oh, that we may be given to see truly what a stable that is within. That it may not be but a lip confession, but that we might have to smite truly upon our breast as the publican of old. O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Wilt thou make us truly as that prodigal, that we may be given to see the error of our way, that we may be given to feel the pollution of our existence, and that we may be given a true need and a true cry from which thou art able to deliver us. O that thy dear Son, as thou dost declare him to be, may also be to us, that it may be applied in our own life, the work which he has accomplished in his human nature, That was accomplished with that power that was given unto him from above. O Lord, that thou may look on us in thy mercy. We do perish under thy holy word. And then we shall be reserved unto the lowest hell. If thou dost not intervene, we beseech thee then, O Lord, in the condition and in the state in which we are, that thou would stretch forth thy mighty arm, that thou may send forth this day thy Holy Spirit, that thou wouldst convince of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and that thou may make a place for thy dear Son within. May it be in the hearts of both young and old. Wilt thou give thy mercy and thy grace to be experienced as wide as the ocean, that it may be for those who cannot from their own side deliver themselves, and who do despair of all hope from their own side. Wilt thou encourage thy church? Wilt thou give them a little eye to look upon thee by that true saving faith? That it may be that thou may show thyself for a moment through the lattice, that lattice of thy holy word. And then it shall become so full, and then thy goodness may lead for the first or by renewal to a true repentance. Wilt thou look upon all thy servants, help them in the days that lie before us, and the preaching of thy holy word, or that thou may give a close life to thee, a need in our own hearts by renewal, and a visit from above, if it could please thee, and that may make the work an easy one, and that may send forth its savor amidst the entire congregation. And wilt thou care for all the afflicted and the sick, that may come home again from the hospital in this day? Wilt thou watch over and be with her? And wilt thou grant her healing for her body? And may thou visit her also this day with thy salvation. Be with all those that mourn, those that have lost their loved ones. Oh, that thou may remember them in these days, and that thou may visit them also with a little token of thy nearness, and that thou may show them that thou knowest where that they are, and that thou art the helper of the fatherless, and that thou art a judge of the widows, that thou may remember all that rule and reign over us in the nations in which we may live. Oh, that thou may give our rulers help from above to bring us back as nations to thy word and to thy testimony. And wilt thou put away evil from among us? And wilt thou take away thy judgments? And wilt thou look upon us in this afternoon hour? Lord, wilt thou help us in the bringing of thy word, and make it an easy and a loving task, and give us the ability in our body, in our mind, and grant us clarity of speech, and wilt thou grant us also the unction of thy Spirit, or that thou may teach us, O Lord, and that we may be but a mouthpiece in the midst of our flock, for we know nothing, but thou knowest all things, also the hearts of young and old. Oh, for a little word in this afternoon, that may be for the conversion
of souls in our midst and for the glory of thy name. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 92, stanzas 1, 3, and 8. Be thou my helper in the strife, O Lord, my strong defender be, and thy mighty shield protect my life, thy spear confront the enemy. And what follows in stanzas 1, 3, and 8 of Psalter 92, and the last collection today is for the Blue Book Sermons.
beloved congregation. What a touching scene that we find pictured to us in the Word of God. For we find there drawn for us the picture of a woman who has an awful disease, a disease within her body, a disease of her blood. That blood of her body is her life. That blood of her body is draining out of her body. Slowly, as she has come more and more to realize that how powerful that disease is. Slowly, she has come more and more to understand that it is a disease for which there is no human cure. Oh, she has seen every doctor. She has spent, we read in God's Word, all her living. And she was nothing bettered, but she rather grew worse. Oh, it was in such a time, and it was in such a condition, and it was in such a despair, that woman, as she leaves her home, and we see her drawing near unto that multitude that is surrounding the Lord Jesus Christ. We see her stand there for a moment. She is hesitating. Will she do it? Oh, then there is within her a voice that says, "You may not do it." A voice that says, "You are polluted." A voice that says, "You are corrupt." A voice that says, "That is not according to the law of the Lord. Because you will only make all that people around you to be polluted." Oh, she hesitates. Oh, she thinks, "Do I now go back again?" And yet we see her pressing forward. Oh, what a touching scene. With such a history in her life. We see her pressing through that crowd, through every obstacle that is lying in her way. Oh, we see her. We see her even amidst all the angry looks, the glances that are cast upon her. Oh, we see her in her need. We see her in her great distress. We see her pressing forward. We see her bowing. We see her touching the hem of his garment. Oh, how many? How many do surround the Lord Jesus Christ that have never once approached him with the root of the matter within their heart, because they had never had in their heart a feeling sense of the greatness of the evil of their sin. Never experienced in their life the impossibility of a self-cure, and that there is not one in the entire world that is able to deliver their soul. But under the Spirit's work, then we see just the opposite. Then we see the hesitation. And then we can feel the humility that the Lord is working in the life of that people to bring them so low. Oh, then they are so unworthy to come into that holy presence of the Lord. But it is now that dire need that it is between life and death. Because if it is not now, then it is never.
And so we see that people drawing near to touch the hem of his garment. And what they may experience now there is for the saving of their soul. We want to consider something of this with the Lord's help in this afternoon hour, out of the words of our text, which you can find written in the portion that was read to you, Matthew 1, the 21st verse. Matthew 1, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So far, the words of our text. The Christ child named, first, by whom he was named. Second, what he was named. And third, for whom he was named. The Christ child named, first, by whom he was named. Second, what he was named. And third, for whom he was named. By whom he was named. What do we read? Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Who is that that is speaking, children? Who is that that is speaking? Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Well, we read that there that the Lord, he is by his messenger, he is appearing unto Joseph in a dream. Joseph, he is perplexed. Why is Joseph perplexed? Well, his wife. No, his espoused wife. We would say his engaged wife. She is with child. Would you also be perplexed, young people? Because Joseph here, we read, he is a just man. A just man. Are you a just man, young people? And Mary, she is also a God-fearing woman. They are engaged together, soon to be married. Thus they wish to be equally yoked. Do you also wish to be equally yoked? Or do you ask the Lord to grant you the tender fear of his name? Do you ask the Lord also to give you a husband, to give you a wife? With that tender fear of the name of the Lord in their hearts, is that now what you are searching for? Is that now what you are looking for? They are espoused. But here, Joseph, he suddenly discovers that Mary, she is with child, probably when she has returned from her cousin Elizabeth. Joseph is perplexed. Would you be perplexed too, young men? Joseph, he suspects Mary. He suspects her of sin. He suspects her of fornication. He never thought of this. He certainly never thought this of Mary. But there is a mistrust that is rising now in the heart of Joseph for Mary. A mistrust that she is an unfaithful woman. How difficult that is for Mary. Mary, that is, she is called by the Lord a blessed woman. The angel of the Lord, he has appeared unto Mary. He has said, "Blessed art thou among women. O thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and thou shalt bring forth a son. O all the nations of the world." Mary, she has sung of it herself. "They shall call me blessed." Indeed, they shall call her blessed. But now, Joseph himself, he is within himself. He is calling her an harlot. Oh, do you think that Mary has said something to Joseph? What has taken place? Certainly she has told him. Certainly she has explained to him. "Joseph, there was an angel of the Lord, and that angel, he has appeared unto me, that I shall conceive in my womb, and that will be now of the Holy Ghost." What would we say when she would have told us such a thing? Then we would say, it was indeed a dream. It is a cover. Oh, Joseph, he cannot take it over. What a severe trial for Mary. What a severe trial for that true church of God when they are not believed. That true church of God, who do so highly estimate the opinion of God's true people. And when they have now spoken to them, and now when even God's people, well, they cannot take it over. Oh, then it is a special trial. Sometimes where the Lord, he is bringing his own people for their good. Oh, then it is bringing them when they cannot deliver themselves. Then it is bringing them upon their knees. Mary does not need to defend herself. Why? Because the Lord will defend her. Because the Lord, he himself has chosen Mary. And the Lord himself has worked in Mary. And the Lord himself will bring his own work to light in his own time. Joseph, he thinks. Joseph, he ponders. We read that Joseph, he does not act rashly. He does not act immediately. But he considers these things. But after he considers those things, all the evidences, they are against Mary. And so the words of Mary, they are more and more losing their weight in the opinion of Joseph. And Joseph finally decides to end this relationship. He cannot do otherwise. Joseph is a just man. Joseph is not ready to marry an harlot. That is a sin that is loathsome to Joseph. Is it also loathsome to us, young people, in the days in which we are living, as it was unto Joseph? Yet we read that Joseph was minded to put her away privily. That is, he is going to do this in a gentle way. Why?
Well, the love of his heart that still goes out to Mary, that is not lost for him. No, then he wants to do this quietly. He does not want to make a public example of her. No, that is how it ought to be with all of us, that we are not ready to make a public example one of the other. Joseph ponders. What do you think? Do you think that Joseph also prayed? And Mary, she waits. What do you think? Do you think that Mary also prayed? Oh, she has no recourse. She has no recourse to any man. There is only one place that Mary may go, and that is to the Lord. Because there is only one that is able to deliver Mary out of these circumstances. Do you know what that is in your life? And Mary, she is not put to shame, not in her distress. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. O God's people, they do not need to defend themselves, because the Lord is himself going to defend his people. And the only thing that they have to do is to wait for him. That is not just to wait for him, but the thing that they only have to do is to wait upon him. The Lord is so good to Mary, and the Lord is so good to Joseph. Because the Lord here, he is taking away. The Lord here, he is solving the riddles, the perplexities that are living in the heart of Joseph. Oh, what more does that true church desire than to know that that which is conceived in them is of the Holy Ghost? Is that now not also what you desire, people of the Lord? Oh, that you could know that that which is conceived in you is of the Holy Ghost. And now when the Lord is coming, the Lord, he is coming to deliver Joseph out of this great predicament in his life. Oh, what is now more important in our life than who will be our spouse, young people? Is that the most important thing in our temporal life? Who you will now spend your whole life with, if the Lord may give it to you? Oh, do you bow your knees for this? Is that now a need in your heart, that the Lord would show you the way, and that the Lord may give, as we read in our form, that the Lord, he is giving unto every man his wife? Oh, that you may be able to say it later. Oh, that the Lord, he has given unto me my wife. Oh, when the Lord comes, he is coming to deliver Joseph out of his present troubles. But he is delivering him at the same time. He is delivering him out of more than his temporal troubles, because he will deliver him now also out of his soul troubles. What kind of troubles do we have? Are they all just temporal troubles? Or do we also have soul troubles? Because the Lord, He is often bringing a man into temporal troubles in order that He may deliver him out of his soul troubles. That is what we see here. And that is to deliver not only Joseph, not only Mary, but the entire church of God. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins, thus the Lord. He declares to Joseph the imminent arrival of that Messiah that was promised in the Old Testament. The Lord announces to Joseph that promised Son of God, that that church has been waiting for now for such a long time, that the Lord Himself is going to bring this shortly to pass. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. Children, if you have a little brother or little sister that is born in your house, then you know that they receive a name. Who gives them that name? Say, not me. I don't give them that name, no. You say, my father gives him that name. My mother gives him that name. And before that baby is born, oh, then they have those names already picked out. Long time already they have been thinking what the name of that baby is going to be if it is a boy, and what the name of that baby is going to be if that baby is a girl. So you say, oh, my parents, my mother, and then especially my father, he is responsible to give that baby a name. So it was also with this child. His father gave him his name. Who was his father? That was not Joseph. Oh, but it was his heavenly Father that gave him his name. It is God Himself. And He has specifically named him. It says, thou shalt call his name Jesus. So Joseph, he has a specific command from the Lord what he shall call that child. Say, is that so important? What his name was? We give a name also to our children. And when we name our children, sometimes we give them even a name out of the Holy Scriptures. We do that with what? We do that with sometimes a wish in our heart. We say, we call him David, or we call him Abraham. We say with a wish that he may be like Abraham, that he might be as a David. Oh, that is an expectation in the heart of father and mother, young people, children. What you shall be. Oh, then they have a desire that you may be a God-fearing son, that you may be a God-fearing daughter, but they are not a prophet. And they will try to instruct you in your life that you may walk in that direction. Do you hear that in father? Do you hear that in mother, that wish? Even if your name, that is not a name that comes out of the Holy Scriptures. But God, He is His names. Thus, the name of God that is different than our names, because God, He, by His names, He reveals to us who that He is. Thus, the names of God, they are chosen by Him in order that He may show to us
what his character is, what his essence is, what his work is, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Oh, did the Lord ever reveal to you? Did the Lord ever open to you who God is by his names? When was this name given? This name was given before that he was born. It was given before even that he was conceived in the womb. Because we read when that child was circumcised, we read that they called his name Jesus, which was so named of the angel before that he was conceived in the womb. Thus that name that has been set already from eternity. That is a name that has been chosen by God the Father himself for his only begotten Son, even from that eternal counsel of peace. It is a precious name that was revealed to Joseph. What was that name? We consider that in our second thought, what he was named. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. Who is that then? Who is this that was named Jesus? Well, we read in this chapter that it is speaking about the birth of Jesus Christ. Last week, we have heard a little bit about that name of Christ. The meaning of that name that is anointed. That is similar to that word that we have heard, the word set. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Thus, it is speaking about he that was anointed. That is the same as the name of the Messiah in the Old Testament. So we read of the Samaritan woman, she says, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. So those two names, they were very similar. And the Lord Jesus said, I that speak unto thee am he. The Jews said, thou blasphemest. But the Lord Jesus said, he says, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified, whom the Father hath set apart, and whom the Father hath sent into the world, that he blasphemeth, because I said unto you that I am the Son of God? Sanctified by the Father, anointed by the Father, chosen by the Father. So we heard of those two things, that name is including, that is, the appointment of the Father and the qualification of the Father, that is, for his offices. Last time we spoke about his kingship, that he was appointed to be the king of his church. But here we read especially about his work. That is the work as the Savior of his church. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He shall save. So what does it mean to save? Well, children, you say to save, that means to rescue someone. You rescue someone from their danger. You rescue someone from destruction. You rescue someone from perishing. Then you say, such a person, he saves them. He was laying in the water, in the ice, and someone came to save him. He could not get out of there. There he would perish. Well, here, then it says, it speaks about saving people. From what? From the ice? From the icy water? No. Where they will perish? No. But saving them from their sins. Thus he declares sin to be the cause of danger. He declares sin to be the cause of destruction. He declares sin to be the cause of perishing. Or did you ever feel sin to be just that? Did you ever go over this world and to say, sin, sin is going to be my ruin? Or my sin that is going to bring me to hell? It is my sin that is going to cast me forever outside of that favor of the Lord. But as Paul says, he says, the wages of sin, that is death. Did you ever feel that? The Lord, he says, in the day that thou eatest, thou shalt die. Or by nature, we do not see the seriousness of sin. We play with it just like a child. He plays with a ball. He pushes it back and forth. That is what we do with sin. Oh, then we make fun of it, young people. We wallow in it. But what does the Lord say? He says, these things hast thou done. He says, I kept silent. But I will reprove thee. And I will set them in order before thine eyes. No, sin is not to be played with. Sin is not to be dabbled with. Think about Ananias and Sapphira. How that the Lord, he has come to them in one moment and he has struck them down for their sin and there was no coming back. Think about the first world when the Lord, he has declared it and that they will be destroyed for their sin and so he has accomplished it. Think about Sodom and Gomorrah and how that city that was steeped in its sin and that there came a day and that the Lord, he has said, it is enough. And the Lord, he has destroyed them. He has made them to perish or he has brought them to destruction. Why? Because of their sin? No, sin is not to be dabbled with. No, sin is not to be played with. But did sin now ever become for us that which is our destruction? Let us sing. 110. All the stanzas, thy tender mercies, O my Lord, withhold not, I implore. But let thy kindness and thy truth preserve me evermore. All the stanzas of Psalter 110.
our last thought for whom he was named. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. His people. But who are, you say, his people? Well, the Jewish people, they were waiting for the Messiah. They were waiting for the fulfillment of the promise of the Lord. And so we can read that there came a time that they took palm branches and they laid their robes in the way and they cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And yet, most of them were looking, not that they may be delivered from their sins, but most of them were looking that they may be delivered from the Romans. Thus it was an outward need, an outward desire. But that people, they had no excuse, because it could be heard in their very Bible, that is in the prophets. Daniel, he has prophesied of the coming of that Messiah. He said that 70 weeks were determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to bring in an everlasting righteousness. So that was in their own scriptures. It was in the prophecies of the Old Testament that it was already spoken unto them that deliverer would be a deliverer for their sins. What does David say in Psalm 130? And he shall redeem Israel out of all his iniquities. But religious man, religious man, he is so carnal. Do you ever feel it? He is so temporal. He is so of the earth, earthy. Or is there also another need that lives in our hearts? And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Are there also a people in our days, children, young people? Is there also now a people in our days that needs to be saved from their sins? Because that is now a mark. We say, who is that people? Well, here is now a mark of his people. And if we need not to be saved from our sins, then why the commemoration? Why the joyful celebrations of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world? Oh, the Christian world amongst which we may live, and we may be thankful that it is so, because there are many other places in this world where even that Christianity that is not acknowledged, even more that Christianity is suppressed. So in an outward way, then we may be thankful. But, boys and girls, when you see all that in this week, when it is all fathers and mothers, and they are so busy, in this week, then they will be going, everyone, to find last minute now, the stores. Do not be jealous, boys and girls. Do not be jealous. But think for a moment how empty that is. Oh, how vain that is. How much disappointment that all that is now going to end in. But is there also a need in also your young little heart? Oh, the Bible that does not begin with Christ. It begins with God. It begins with our creation, the height of our creation. It begins with the depth of our fall. It begins with showing to us why there is so much misery in this world and why that we feel that death also in our own hearts. Oh, our first parents, they felt it. That punishment that had already begun. That judge, he appeared. That curse that was pronounced. All before the fall, there was no need for a Savior. But it was in that need, after the fall, that now that Savior was revealed. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And now the way of the Lord, that does not change. Not from the beginning of the world to the end of the world, because God, he does not change. Then it does not begin with his son, young people. No, it begins with the knowledge of our misery. And it is in the knowledge of our misery that the Lord, he is revealing to that people in their distress, in their need, in their self-despair, is revealing unto that people his only begotten son. I hope you stay with that your whole life. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. What does that mean? That means they are not a sinless people. That means they are not a holy people. No, it is just the opposite. Paul, he despaired. He says, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Why did he say that? He said that because that was the experience of his heart, that he could not deliver himself from the body of this death. The good that I would, I do not. And the evil that I would not, that I do. I find in a law that when good, that evil is always with me. Oh, they are those bands that did tie that burden to the back of Christians. And the desires of that new life that were to rid himself from that burden of sin, but the impossibility from his own side. It is so discouraging. Oh, it is more than discouraging. It is frightening. And why frightening? Because the wages of sin is death. What does Paul speak about? He speaks about those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage, that they'd go over the world with sin and all the consequences of sin at constantly before their eyes. But now when the Lord appeared to Joseph, then he said, thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. It was not named by Joseph. It was given that name by his father. And he gave him that name to reveal unto his church the work that he would do for the sake of that people who could not deliver themselves from their own sins. Oh, to save from sin. That is now the very work that the Father has elected the Son to do from that never begun eternity. To save from sin. That is now the very work to which he has appointed his own
only begotten Son for one reason, because he knew that we could not do it. Fallen man himself, he does not realize, he is unacquainted with that power of sin, with that depth of the fall. But the Father is not unacquainted with it. He knows it better than his own people do. And therefore, he says, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Oh, Christmas. Who is that for? That is for a people who cannot save themselves from their sins, who experience their helplessness, who experience the despondency, who may be given those desires, but to find out the depth of their fall, or that was declared to an Advent people for 4,000 years, and it continues to be declared to the youngest day of this world, that he was not only appointed, but he was also qualified by the Father just for this special work. You and I are not qualified. Do you know that? You and I have no ability to deliver ourselves from our sin. Or can you put away one evil thought? Can you get rid of one evil motive? Everything that lies, the wretchedness, the corruption, and the pollution that lives within our hearts. But what do we read? That he is able to save to the uttermost all those who come unto God by him. Oh, he is mighty in it. He is powerful in it. In the temptation, he did not fail. Sin did not have dominion over him. Satan could not entice him to do just as he wanted him to do. What did Daniel say? To bring in an everlasting righteousness. Or in his suffering, he did not turn back. He endured that suffering all the way to the end. Why? Or what do we read? For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself took part of the same. Why? That through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, and that he might deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That is now his purpose. That is his purpose. That is the purpose of his incarnation. That was the purpose that he has taken upon himself, that human nature, had no other purpose but to save his people from their sins. Or would he now be angry then? Would he now be angry then if from the youngest to the oldest that we would draw near to him and to tell him everything that is in our heart and in our life? Would he then be angry if we expose to him all our guilt and all our corruption, and to say, oh Lord, that the sin of my heart, that is now my destruction. Oh, he does not say, you must now first save yourself from your sins. You must have them all put away before that you bend your knees and before that you dare, before that you dare to approach unto me. He does not say that. Why not? Because he was appointed for this work. Because he was qualified for this work. And he knows that we are not able to put away our sin. No, not a single one. But he was appointed by his Father, and he was qualified by his Father, that he may forgive all the sin of his church. Therefore, that woman, she may be brought to him by the Pharisees. They are all pointing at her. If only they pointed at themselves, but they are all pointing at her. And he may say to her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He was appointed for that. Was qualified for that. He was especially appointed and especially qualified. Therefore named Jesus by his own Father, that he may put away the filth and the corruption of our sin. So that when that leper, he came to him, and he said to him, O Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. What will he now say to him? I will not. I will not. Oh, he says, for this I was appointed. For this I am qualified. And this I will. Be thou clean. Oh, he was appointed. And he was qualified to put away even the punishment of sin. So that he makes for that people, even death, to be for them a transition into eternal life. Paul says, he is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Come then, guilty, filthy, polluted sinner. Come then, O draw nigh unto that throne of grace. Oh, then you are guaranteed an answer in your favor. Oh, indeed, he has turned away the righteous. He says, go and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. But he has never turned away a sinner, a desponding sinner who spent all their money on other physicians and grow nothing better, but only grow worse, and who come pressing in their need through that multitude, bowing to touch the hem of his garment. She felt in her body that she was whole of that plague. Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, do bless thy own word. It is not our word, it is thy word. Oh, that thou may bring it in the hearts of each and every one of us. Oh, that thou may work by thy Spirit. Send it forth, O Lord, and work that true need. For such shall never be turned away by thee. Oh, give us true desires. Forgive thou all our many sins. We may acknowledge thee for thy help in the bringing of thy word. Glorify thy name. Bring us safely home. Give us to keep thy Sabbath day holy. Bring us with desire in thy house once again in this week, when we may commemorate thy blessed incarnation. Yes, even thy humble birth. And wilt thou give it a place in our hearts. For Jesus' sake, amen. 162, 1 and 2. My soul in silence waits for God. My Savior He has proved. He only is my rock and tower. I never shall be moved. 1 and 2 of Psalter 162.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.